This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Mecole Hardman in the end zone. You know, like maybe just a couple little things here and there. I could tweak myself to death, and maybe all of us could in the business, and it's never perfect. But I think all in all, watching it as I have a couple dozen times, I think I was satisfied. Again, you can shove too much in the bag and the bag is going to burst. So you're always kind of cognizant of that too. Don't overload.
Hey now, what's cracking? Welcome to the Jim Rome Podcast and welcome to episode 304, where this week a broadcast icon makes his return to the original side hustle. My guest this week is simply put, one of the best to ever do it. One of my favorite dudes ever, legendary CBS, Turner Sports, and Westwood One broadcaster, Kevin Harlan. If you watch sports on television or you listen to sports on the radio, and I mean any sports at all, you know Kevin's voice because this dude has done it all and done it all at the very highest levels, which is why I always jump at any opportunity to grab him for a few minutes and chop it up, which is exactly what I am about to do. It is episode 304 with broadcasting legend Kevin Harlan, and it's coming at you right now. Kevin, my friend, you are never not busy, but I know you are in the midst of an extremely crazy stretch, even for you, so I cannot thank you enough for making time to chop it up for this pod. Kevin, how is life? How are you doing?
My privilege to be on with you, Jim. All's great, and you're right. We're right. Aside from battling a cold, I'm in good shape, and we're heading into the home stretch of the college basketball season with the NBA playoffs right around the corner. So we leave the Super Bowl, we go to the All-Star game, the NBA All-Star game, finish up with the March Madness with CBS and TNT, and then right into the NBA playoffs. So it's a busy time of year, but a lot of fun.
All right, so I appreciate you playing hurt, and I know that even that makes this even a bigger ask since you're dealing with that right now, and I know how that goes. It's almost inevitable. I got a little bit of that myself. Listen, when you lay it out like that, and I was going to lay it out like that, but you just did for me, I don't think the average listener, Kevin, or viewer has any idea the level of prep or the travel necessary for you to do what you do at such a high level. So I want to first acknowledge that. Full stop. Then I want to ask you, how much does it mean to you to continue to get such prestigious marquee assignments given how long you've been in this game?
Well, it's an honor, clearly, Jim. And, you know, every time you get a game with my two employers, CBS or TNT, I'm always very thankful. I don't necessarily look at the quality of the job, the game that I've got ahead of me. But I do really pay attention to my own personal work and try to give them the best that I can. For instance, this past weekend, we had Indiana at Maryland on CBS, two 500 teams, basically, both probably not going to the NCAA tournament. And we tried to treat that like it was a game between two top five teams. And I think they deserve it. Our advertisers deserve it. So the preparation that goes into those broadcasts is pretty significant, not unlike what you do for your show. It's basically 7 days a week, but we love the business. I think we all feel very fortunate to be in the business, and we take it as personal pride to do our best every time we go on the air. Doing the Super Bowl is pretty easy. That is a game which doesn't need any buildup. You just hope that your own personal performance is up to the task. And I would say that more times than not, I'll listen back. I'll give it a check. Of course, there are things you want to change, but all in all, you're pretty pleased, I think. And preparation takes a lot of the downside away. Preparation takes a lot of the anxiousness away. Preparation certainly is a key. But at the end of the day, as you know, it's all about how you sound, your performance, your delivery on game day. And so that's that's what I really cherish the most, that challenge to be, as you know, the best I can be every broadcast.
Preach. Kevin Harlan joining us. Kevin, to the point, I think that the listeners understand where you're going with that, but I want to be very clear about this. For instance, teams watch film. They give players grades based on their performance in games. Do you not do the same thing? Will you not break tape of yourself and then grade your own performance?
Every game, Jim. Every single game. And if you don't, I think you're robbing yourself of a chance to improve personally, individually. I feel that a lot of my career has been based on self-improvement, and I'd like to think that I'm evolving season to season and year to year. And like that challenge, I like the business of broadcasting. I like the chance to do even better the next game. When I was a younger broadcaster, I thought, I can't do enough games because the more reps I get, hopefully the better I'll get. Now, I like the reps and I like the games, but I look at it from a different, through a different lens, perhaps. I've been able to develop my own grade sheet, one for radio NFL football, one for the NFL on CBS TV, and one for doing basketball and college basketball for CBS and TNT. And I've got my own little list of things that I think are important. For my radio broadcast on Monday Night Football and for the subsequent playoff games, I've got 9-10 categories that on every play, I want to make sure that I allude to or certainly bring up during a call. Geography and making sure I've got the right word choice. All the things that I think are important to a radio broadcast for a listener that can't watch the game to create that visual in his or her mind is vital. On TV, you bring it back and you want to accent the picture. And so I've got a whole nother set of different categories that for NFL TV broadcasts with CBS that I feel I've got to hit literally every play, from pockets of space that I leave in the broadcast to making sure I lead my analyst and there's enough buffer between what he says and what I say, using the crowd as an orchestra. And then with basketball, the NBA and college basketball fall in that same category, but a variety of different things, maybe 20 different things at various junctures of a certain sequence that I feel that I've got to get in there. So this grade sheet has taken me kind of all these years to, and it's not perfect, and I add and take away from year to year things I think are important. But again, I'll go back to what I said. I like the challenge of self-critiquing and bettering my performance and doing the best of my ability, because I know that so many people would love this job that I'm doing. And I want to make sure that I'm not taking it for granted. And I think there's a little bit of paranoia too, quite frankly, in the business. And I think a little paranoia is good. I think you always want to make sure that you're staying on your game, because if you're not, you can quickly exit and they'll put somebody else in there who will do a better job than you are.
Well, I understand exactly what you're saying. I've got a little bit of that, more than a little bit of that in my own self, in the way I approach it too. Now, that's a process right there, Kevin. That is a process, and that's a process that you practice after every single game. You know, a little bit of paranoia is good. Let me ask you this. I've got this thing, and I think you'll relate to this. Hey, clones, what do we want when we're craving protein and we need more energy? I'll tell you what we don't want. Bars, sugary snacks, energy drinks. Nah, we want beef, pure and simple. So where's the beef? It's in a package of Old Trapper beef jerky. Old Trapper is not your father's jerky. Shriveled, dry, tasteless. No, Old Trapper beef jerky is made from lean strips of steak and quality spices that are smoked over a real wood fire. So it's tender and tasty. It's never tough. So why is it so good? Because Old Trapper is a 50-year-old family business known for their relentless commitment to quality. In other words, they take smoked beef extremely seriously, and you can taste it in every single bite. Old Trapper is packed with protein and comes in four amazing flavors to satisfy all your cravings. Quality smoked meat at its finest that goes with you wherever you go, to the game, to the gym, to the beach, anywhere at all. So look for Old Trapper in the Clearview bag. You can see the quality that you're buying. Look for it in major retail stores near you. If you don't see it, ask for it by name, because no other jerky compares. Old Trapper, what's your beef? I've got a side hustle to my side hustle called the Reinvention Project with Jim Rome. And you and I are close in age. My thing is, I want to make sure that my best life and my best work are actually in front of me and not behind me. So if I were to say to you, and I know people, because you've had so many classic calls, would you not say, you know what, maybe, and there's some that I'm proud of, but I'd like to think that my best calls and my best work are actually in front of me and not in my rearview mirror? Would that be a fair statement for you?
That is a completely accurate, and I those are the words I would say exactly. I would like to think that as I evolve, I'll better handle situations, be more adroit with the way I work around a play, a big play, a bad play, an injury, whatever it might be. I'd like to think that I'm preparing myself for that call that is yet to come. And it may never come. It may be a succession of games that have very little flair and dynamic quality to them, but I want to make sure that I'm ready. You know, a story that I've told, we got three daughters and a son. And I told my girls and my son, I said, you know, before I met your mom, I didn't necessarily hope or pray that I'd meet the right one. But what I was really aiming toward was that I wanted to be prepared myself. I wanted to be ready for when that opportunity came about. And sure enough, I was ready when she walked into my life. And the same, I think, is true for a broadcast. Back to your preparation question, alluding to what you were talking about then. If you're prepared, if you've done enough self-analysis, if you've done enough self-critiquing, if you're constantly in your mind prepping and thinking of delivery and pace and the kinds of things that, you know, periods, just, you know, basic things like that. People think that before a game, I'm sitting, okay, who's the outside linebacker? Who comes in on the dime? You know, how are they going to situate with a versatile player like Juszczyk, and where are they going to play him today? You know, I don't think that way. What I think about is make sure that my pace is there. Make sure that I have my delivery. Make sure that I've gotten a good night's sleep before the game. Make sure in my mind that I've got a couple of sentences that I'll say to myself in the room by myself before I leave for the stadium or arena, you know, out loud, that kind of gets me into that gear, not unlike an opera singer who will go through a series of bars to get their voice warmed up and find their tone for that performance on stage that night. I think that you've got to say that you're always preparing, but there's a set of different, you know, markers along the way leading up to a game that you've got to hit. And so if I feel I'm prepared, that event or that moment or that, you know, magical time in a game or call may not be that night. It may not be in 10 nights, but it may be down the road. And I want to make sure that I'm ready for it.
It's such a great lesson, because you never know. You never know who's to say when that moment's going to come, but it will probably come at some point. And you want to make sure you've done the work and you've prepared yourself mentally and physically and emotionally. You know, Kevin, because the process is so intense, because you are so critical of your own work, because you're always working on your craft, I'm curious. You did get absolute raves for your call on Mecole Hardman's game winner in the Super Bowl. What kind of marks did you give yourself for that call when you listened to it back?
Well, I think I was satisfied with it. More importantly, my employers were satisfied with it. Of course, you wish there was another word or phrase, perhaps, that you could have put in there. I don't know. In that moment, as things were unfolding so quickly, and it was so quick twitch, Jim, that I don't know. Had I even added something, it may have blurred the vision in the minds of my listeners, of the listeners to that game. So I guess I feel like with radio play-by-play, and I don't want to get in the weeds, but however, saying that, I love that I think we think alike. I think we're wired the same way about the craft and about the business and about all the different things that make you so great at what you're doing, the things I try to do. And it's never perfect, but you're always striving for perfection. And I like that. I like that. Like I said, I like that challenge. So when I think about, you know, what would I have done differently? you know, there was a receiver in motion, and it was kind of a low snap around his knees, and he did run to his right. And I wish, I guess, it would have said, you know, tosses a gentle pass into a wide open backpedaling McCole Hardman in the end zone. You know, like maybe just a couple little things here and there. I could tweak myself to death, and maybe all of us could in the business, and it's never perfect. But I think all in all, watching it as I have a couple dozen times, I think I was satisfied. Again, you can shove too much in the bag and the bag is going to burst. So you're always kind of cognizant of that too. Don't overload, but make sure that they can clearly see that Mahomes is running and throwing on the run and hits his open receiver on a short pass. They knew it was, you know, a short pass to begin with. A simple thing on radio, for instance, down distance location. A lot of times I listen and I don't hear broadcasters tell me who's 35-yard line, because I think that's huge for a listener knowing, you know, geography on the field or on the court, you know, where they are. Top of the key, right of the circle, right corner, far corner, near sideline, far sideline. Like those geographical things for radio are so important. And then, you know, then the aftermath of the call, right? It wins the game. You try to take a deep breath. You try to put some significance onto it. What am I seeing on the field? The entire bench, and it wasn't captured on TV, unfortunately, but the entire bench, and I don't think I've seen this in the NFL, Jim, the entire Kansas City bench as one, as if given a command by some sergeant, the whole bench sprinted, taking off their cloaks, their wrap around their shoulder, running onto the field, chasing Mahomes, who was running in the end zone himself. And like, it was such a great visual. And I thought that needed some kind of insertion in there as well. And then to wrap it up, you've got to give the significance. They've won their second consecutive Super Bowl. They've won their third in their 4 years. And they've done something in 5 years. They're a destiny, a dynasty, something to that effect. I'd have to go back and watch it. I'm so far removed now. I'm back into basketball, but those things I thought needed to be said, and I had to make sure in my mind, and I don't write things down. I had to make sure in my mind, Jim, that I kind of had those elements in that final call that could be used down the road, as they're replaying the game, or definitely set the stage for what the Chiefs had just done at the end of overtime.
So let me tell you about something. The other day, I come across a product that all of us should be carrying around. It's amazing. It's something different for fresh breath. It is an incredible product called Zelman's Minty Mouth. And guys, it is a game changer. If you're up in the grill of somebody else and you're making your case for whatever it is, make sure your breath is fresh. Zelman's cleans your breath in a way that other mints don't and can't, because it's not just a mint. It's a functional breath freshener capsule that you swallow. It's clinically tested against the toughest offenders, even garlic and onions. You just pop two or three in your mouth, suck the minty coating, then swallow the capsule for the confidence of fresh, clean breath that lasts for hours. The product is nothing. The product is like nothing else you've ever tried. It fights bad breath in your mouth. It then goes right down to your gut. This is the ultimate hack to get rid of coffee, garlic, or smoker's breath. You're going to like having the confidence of long-lasting fresh breath, or you get your money back guaranteed. These folks will give you your money back. Not that you're going to want it, but they will. They've got free shipping if you order three packs or more, and trust me, you're going to want more. And nobody likes to pay for shipping. Go to Zelmans.com right now. That's Zelmins.com. Right now, you'll get 15% off when you use the promo code ROAM. Zelmins.com. You do have to use the code ROAM to get your 15% savings, ROME. Now, it's an amazing thing. I mean, see all that. process all of that, communicate all of that in a succinct manner, in a matter of seconds, and nail all that. I mean, it's such an incredibly difficult thing to do. Kevin, you know, you mentioned your kid, so I want to ask you about that. You stay in the game long enough, you might even get to call a Super Bowl with your daughter, which you did with Olivia. Like, I can't even imagine what that was like. As an example, I recently had our college-age son, Logan, on my daily radio/TV program. At my wife's urging, I could not have been more proud. It was an amazing experience, and that's nothing like having him on the world stage. How would you describe working with Olivia at the Super Bowl? Was it everything you thought it would be?
It was, Jim. You're so nice to bring that up, and I know the pride you take in your family, and I've heard you talk about him before, and I just know a little bit about you personally and the kind of man you are and husband and father you are. So coming from you and that kind of question is much appreciated. Now, we have four children, and we love them each the same. We're proud of each in their different ways. They're mothers. They've got babies. They're married. You know, living that part of their life, which is so gratifying to reach an age where you can see them grow from little girls. And, you know, they're so much like my wife. They're so much like her. Thank God. But I told the kids, I said, my business is a very difficult business. And quite frankly, as they were growing up and watching me, you know, doing these games and being in press boxes and in our booths and traveling around to certain games, I said, you've only been able to watch the best of what this business is. By the grace of God, I've not had a lot of jobs. I've kept the jobs that I've had for decades. We've gotten to live in one place. We did not have to move around. We've stayed in one place. So you've got the same kids that you knew when you were in grade school and in high school. And that is a real luxury and something that does not happen in this business. You've only seen the best. The average person in my business, in our business, has to go through a series of moves, and maybe they lose a job here, or they, whatever. It's turbulent at best, and so you've only had a chance to see the best of the business. And luckily, three of the four kids listened to me, and they did not get in it. My youngest daughter gave me the dad Heisman. And we got into the business, and I told my wife, Ann, I said, we will know just how serious she is about this business by her work ethic. She chose a great journalism school at the University of Georgia, and from the day, Jim, she walked on campus, after doing a lot of things in high school here in Kansas City, she had a bunch of internships, followed people around, worked from the time she was really about 14 years old, doing different things in the business. But then now she's away from us. And so at that time she was, you know, kind of going into uncharted territory, didn't know anybody. And you know, she just worked her way through school, got great jobs, got great internships, worked hard, worked late, missed a lot of social activities, but she loved the business. And sure enough, when she got out of college, one of her first jobs was doing the SEC as a sideline reporter for Fox Sports South. And then the very next year, she went to ESPN and was there for 6 years as one of their sideline reporters. And she's really worked hard at the business. Now, she married an NBA player, Sam Decker, who played in the two Final Four teams at Wisconsin. We spent our summers in Wisconsin. He's a Wisconsin boy from Sheboygan. Went to the University of Wisconsin, had the two Final Fours, drafted by the Rockets, has moved around, and now is playing overseas, and now they actually have a little baby boy. So she had to leave the country and follow him as he was continuing his pro career, and she had to kind of reinvent herself. So she was just hired this year by Sky Sports to be on their NFL broadcasts, and she was doing sideline. She does a weekly show for Sky, which is their version of ESPN in Europe. And so she's kind of recreated herself, reinvented herself over there. And so we couldn't be more proud. They sent her here to the States for the Super Bowl. She was there all week. She got to see so many people that she grew up listening to and watching on TV. All the sideline reporters, the Tracy Wolfsons, all the people you can think of have been so kind and so gracious with their time and helping her along the way and giving her advice, so serving as mentors. So it was really a gratifying experience watching her work in that arena at the very top of her game, and I continue to be very, very proud of her.
I was just going to say, you must be so proud. That is an amazing, amazing story. Kevin, if you're not comfortable, don't answer this, but you said something all of that struck me, but you said something that really perked my interest. We also summer in Wisconsin because our son Jake went to the University of Wisconsin, and that's not why we do that, but I had another friend from Chicago that I met in Montana that always was in Wisconsin and would tell me, and he's very well to do and he's got homes everywhere, but he said, my favorite place is Eagle River. You have to come. And I had no interest, Kevin, in ever going to Eagle River. And I used that same Heisman for about 10 years. And finally, my wife, Janet, said to me, I've run out of ways to say no. We have to go. I said, fine, let's go. Let's get it over with. I go to Eagle River. I fall in love with Eagle River. We buy a home there. And that's where we summer. How far are you from us in the summertime? Yes.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
We are north of Green Bay, about 80 miles north of Green Bay on the peninsula that sticks out into Lake Michigan. It's an area called Door County.
Oh, I know. It was of course.
The French named it Death's Door because of all the shipwrecks they have there. And it's where the Green Bay waters meet the Lake Michigan waters. And I grew up in Green Bay. My dad worked for the Packers for 37 years. And I was a ball boy and went to high school there. And even though we live in Kansas City now, that's where I grew up. And so we go back there in the summers, we took the kids the day they got out of school, drove up there, 14-hour drive from Kansas City, and the kids learned to sail and they would fish and they worked in ice cream stores and all had little summer jobs at the mom and pop candy store. So that's where they grew up in their summers. And now they're bringing their kids up there during the summer. So we're in Door County, in that area that sticks out into Lake Michigan, and absolutely love it. And now that we're empty nesters, aside from the grandkids, Ann and I will spend a good chunk of our fall up there as well. And I'll just commute out of the Green Bay Airport, which is very easy to do. And we love it, Jim. It's such a nice, as you know. I mean, you know, state of Wisconsin is beautiful with its farms and its rolling hills and beautiful lakes and incredible state parks. I got a big smile on my face here, and you talk about Eagle River. What a great area of the state in the upper Midwest. And I can see why you love it and why it has a special place with you.
Oh, Kevin, I love it so much. That's why I couldn't wait to ask you. And I know you understand that flying in and out of Rhinelander might be a little bit different. It's not the easiest place to get to from California, Kevin. But once you get there, it's great. You know, I'm so fascinated. Of course, I know that you grew up in Green Bay. Your father was a famous, famous executive for the Packers. I remember, and I've told this story, but I remember my very first time in Green Bay when the show went on the road. It was for the 1996 NFC Championship game between the Packers and Carolina. I'd never been to Green Bay before, Kevin. I was so blown away. But one of the things in my career, when I got my first big break in 1990 on 690 AM, there was a producer there. In fact, it was Chris Visser. It was Leslie Visser's son.
And oh, my goodness, yes.
So you know Chris. So he was the EP there. And as part of my tryout, Kevin, as part of my audition, when I went down there to try out for the station and meet with people, he said to me, you are going to do an interview right now on the spot with the person of my choice. I said, let's do it. He calls up, of all people, Jerry Kramer. And luckily for me, Kevin, the first sports book I read as a kid was the Green Bay Packer Diary, Instant Replay by Jerry Kramer. So clearly, not only was I prepped, I was thrilled to talk to Jerry Kramer. And we had a longtime friendship, but my first trip to Green Bay, they take me right to Fuzzy Thurston's bar. I mean, the whole thing was just so surreal. Like to me, as somebody from California, time had stood still. Kevin, what was it like to grow up, even though your father was very famous and prominent, what was it like to grow up in that town?
Oh, it was amazing, Jim. And we were there before the stadium really expanded to what it is now. My dad was with the baseball Cardinals, and he was the media relations director for the Cardinals. So we were there in the mid-60s, and I was just a little guy, 4 or 5 years old. But Lou Brock and Curt Flood and Bob Gibson and Joe Torre and Roger Maris, Tim McCarver, they were all St. Louis Cardinals. My dad knew them all because he was, as I said, the media relations director, then went to Green Bay in 1971 with Dan Devine, who left the University of Missouri. And so when I was up there when I was 10 years old and would work the summers as a ball boy. And then during the regular season, I'd be up in the press box and I'd work in the press box and I would work for the visiting radio network or the TV network that was doing the game, spotting or working in the booth. So I got a behind the scenes view of broadcasting. That's what really opened my eyes to it. Jim Simpson and Lindsey Nelson and Tim Ryan and Charlie Jones and Pat Summerall. I mean, like all these incredible names would come through there. So I got to see all that stuff because I was working in that press box from the time I was about 11 years old until I went to college. And but I used to work there as a ball boy, and I worked with Bart Starr Jr., the late Steve Bratkowski. His brother Bob Bratkowski was a one-time NFL offensive coordinator. And like we were ball boys there in the summer. And Bart Starr was the coach at one time for the Packers after Dan Devine left to go to Notre Dame. So I mean, I have so many stories in that time. But to grow up in that kind of atmosphere, I get it. I was born on third base heading home, having a chance to be on NFL sidelines and NFL locker rooms, on practice fields, and being in a press box and working with networks and seeing the preparation these guys did and how they handled their craft, and being around big writers that we called Dr. Z, when Paul Zimmerman, when he would come in, Tex Mall, like all these great names I had a chance to meet and see, you know, doing what they did. So being in Green Bay for me, I mean, like I was blessed in so many ways, but that was one of the great blessings of my career, is getting a chance to see it at that age and living it year by year by year, and then developing those things in my mind, becoming the person that I am today, watching professionals work, watching people at the very height of their craft do what they did so well, and then watching my dad run that organization and doing what he did. And he hired two Super Bowl winning coaches, and my dad hired two Super Bowl winning different general managers, and was in the room when they had to okay the Favre trade, and was in the room when they had to say, we're going to move up and draft Aaron Rodgers. So he has those six things from a football standpoint that he had to make a decision on. He didn't orchestrate the trade. Ron Wolf did that. He didn't hire the coaches. Wolf and Ted Thompson did that. But everything had to go through him because he was the president. So he was there at a very incredible time when the Packers have had this long run of success and, of course, those two Super Bowl appearances.
Man, this family is something else. Are you one of millions struggling with premature hair thinning and hair loss? Or maybe you're scared about inheriting that thinning look because it just runs in the family. Introducing Provia, a real solution that delivers on its promise without the harsh side effects, unwanted chemicals, and unpleasant smells. Thanks to our friends that developed GenuCell Skincare, Provia uses Procapil. It's a natural ingredient to effectively target the three main causes of premature hair thinning for men and women of any age. By supporting scalp circulation, the delivery of nourishing nutrients, and hair follicle anchoring to your scalp, Provia guarantees more hair on your head than in the shower or on your comb, or 100% of your money back. And right now, new customers can save over 50% off Provia's introductory package at proviahair.com/Rome. Every package includes a full 60-day supply of Provia serum for daily use, plus their super concentrate that could give you faster, more noticeable results. And every order includes your choice of a free gift at checkout. See results for yourself right now. ProviaHair.com/Rome. ProviaHair.com/Rome. These statements and products have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. These products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease or condition. So, Kevin, one final thought. I could do this for hours. These anecdotes are absolutely just mind-blowing to me. But so you and I are not a couple of old heads, and we do want to get better. We do want to evolve. We still care a lot. But so we're not just a couple of old heads. Let me ask you this. It's a really intriguing time in our industry with the evolution of technology, right? Like, I'm preparing to take the video simulcast of my daily radio program to the X social media platform. Since you and I have both invested so many years in the audio medium, what do you make of how the different ways, there's so many different ways that people can now consume your games and your content and how different that is? And leave me with that thought.
Well, clearly radio is in a transitional phase right now, AM and FM radio. And I think they're continually trying to grope a little bit, search and see what is the sweet spot. And I think they're getting closer. Podcasts of like this have clearly enhanced, I think, you know, different audio ways of consuming information. And I listen to podcasts all the time, including yours, and enjoy everything that they mean. I do think live sports on radio will always have a place. I do think live talk shows, sports and news will always have a place. I don't know where music really fits. And I don't know, or maybe some of the other, you know, traffic clearly is big still in bigger cities, bigger markets. That has a place. And that's continuing to evolve. And I don't know that it really has sorted out, Jim, but it sure is fascinating to watch. And TV, the streaming thing is just like, all we do on TNT and CBS now is read about Paramount Plus and Max and all these different ways to stream and consume, you know, the visual medium that TV is. I don't know where broadcast networks are going to be, quite frankly, but I do know streaming has got so much momentum and so much in back of it. And these networks are always looking 5, 10, 20 years ahead that, man, they're pushing that streaming stuff on us all the time. And they know people can't be in front of their TVs at home, but they are out driving around so they can listen. And they could be maybe waiting for a plane and they can watch on their phones. So it's incredible what's going on right now. I'm in my early 60s. I hope to work probably another 10 years. I don't know in 10 years where it's going to be, but I go backwards 10 years and see that all the stuff we're doing now wasn't even thought of 10 years ago. So like, it's so weird. But I guess I hope I can, like you, evolve and stay on top of it. And so the last broadcast I do, just hope that I'm doing the best. I don't want to look in the mirror when I'm in my mid-70s. My time has come and gone, and I've done my last game, and I'm now enjoying retirement. I don't want to look back and say, I wish I would have. I wish I would have worked harder. I wish I would have thought more. I wish I would have, you know, done more self-evaluation. I'm trying to check those boxes right now and think about them every day. I don't want to have any I wishes. I say, I'm so satisfied. I gave whatever I had. And you know what? At the end of the day, I can live with that. And I can go to sleep at night thinking I did the best I can. If we all said that in all of our professions, you know, we'd probably be in a pretty good place. But I say it to myself every day. I don't want to let these next 10 years go to waste, and I want to do the best I can and stay on top of my job.
Kevin, I don't think that anybody would ever, ever doubt or question that. I think that you're going to be one of those people. Like, we always talk about athletes and how it's so important that they get to leave on their own terms, and so few get to. I think you and I, we would never say we play the game, but I think we approach it the same way. We want to be able to go out on our own terms. I know you will. I'm working towards that myself. My friend, I can't even begin to tell you how much this means to me, the relationship, the friendship. I know you were playing hurt. I know how busy things are right now. That was just an absolutely fabulous conversation, Kevin. I can't thank you enough. That was absolutely the best.
I'm privileged that you would ask me to be on. Thank you so much. I don't want to go too long-winded here, but there are so few people that I respect as much as I respect you. I've watched your career, the Mighty 690 in San Diego. I can remember Hacksaw Hamilton, I think, may have been on that station at one time calling the Chargers. That signal just shot all over the country. And then to see where your career is and one last thing, the thing I like most about people like you is Jim, people don't realize how hard it is to maintain a level. Some people get to the level, but then they quickly fritter away. you've stayed at that level, and the maintenance of staying at that level to be as prominent and as good and sharp and as on top of things as you are is really, it's breathtaking for another person in the business to watch and listen to you do your show. And so it was my honor to be on with you, and I thank you so much for the invitation.
I don't often say this, Kevin, but I have no words. I have no words. That just given how much I respect and admire you and appreciate you, that means the absolute world to me, Kevin. Thank you so much. Health and happiness to you and the family, and I thank you once again, Kevin.
Thank you, Jim. And if you ever get to Fish Creek, Wisconsin, I've got a room for you and your wife, and if you bring the kids, I've got room for them as well.
Let's talk for a minute about O'Reilly Auto Parts, because they're in the business of keeping your car on the road and offering helpful service and parts knowledge that you need for all your maintenance and repairs. They have thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. And they can also test your battery for free. If it needs to be replaced, they will help you find just the right battery for your vehicle. When you need a specialty tool to finish the job, stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts and ask about their loaner tool program. Simply pay a refundable deposit and borrow the right tool, then get your deposit back when it's returned. The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts are your one-stop shop for all things auto, do-it-yourself, and you can find what you need in-store or online. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at O'ReillyAuto.com/Rome. That's O'ReillyAuto.com/Rome. There you have it. Nobody, and I mean nobody, like Kevin Harlan. He is the epitome of class, the epitome of talent, and the epitome of working your tail off to get to the very top and staying there. That is really the most impressive part about this most impressive dude. For all he's accomplished in this incredibly accomplished career, he's still hungry, he's still humble, he is still getting after it, he is still paying that price. And he's as good now as he has ever been. So an enormous thank you to Kevin for making the time once again and playing through a cold and bringing it like he does every single time. That's what it's all about, right? A conversation like that is exactly why I keep doing this pod. It's exactly why there are over 300 episodes in the can already. All of which hold up, by the way, so feel free to give any of them a spin anytime you want. And if you want to be notified every single time I pump out a new ep, just find and smash the subscribe button, and you'll be notified every time I drop that new ep. Do me that solid, and I'll catch you next week right here for episode 305 of the Jim Rohn Podcast. See you then.